bless her this morning. Amen. Come on, if you mean it, amen. Only if you mean it. Come on, if you're blessed, give them a hand clap of praise. And this morning, amen. If for some reason you may not feel blessed, amen, I pray that after this message, you will, amen, you will, amen. And this morning I'm going to share with you a message, amen, and to be honest, it's a message that I got from Pastor Sonny, amen, from Pastor Sonny, and I'm going to share this with you this morning, amen. It's a great message, amen, and it's a message like this that, messages like this boost your faith.
Yes.
How many need their faith to be boosted?
Yeah.
How many want to grow their faith?
Yeah.
And this is the type of message that will grow your faith if you really listen with an open heart. Amen. And if you really hear the voice behind the voice and pay attention to the word of God. It's a message that will grow your faith, but also a message that would teach you to be blessed. Does anybody want to be blessed? Amen, amen. Come on now, does anybody want to be blessed? I've never met somebody that don't want to be blessed, amen. Tell your neighbor, I want to be blessed. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you are blessed. Praise the Lord. And this morning, amen, I'm going to be talking about giving to the Lord, amen. I know that sometimes when you talk about money, people get funny. But this morning, I want to share with you a message entitled The Benefits of Being a Generous Person.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Benefits of Being a Generous Person. Is there any generous people here this morning?
Yes.
I know, I didn't used to be generous.
On,
amen.
Man.
I used to be stingy. Amen. Yeah. I used to be... Come on now. Amen. I used to squeak when I walked. Amen. But Jesus changed that about me. Changed that about me. Amen. And there's so much about being generous, amen, that when we learn this concept, amen, it'll totally change the way we live, amen, the way we see things, the way we live life, amen, is when we get this concept. And there's a lot in the Word of God that I'm going to share with you this morning, amen, that the Lord shares, amen, about the benefits of being generous, amen. And so I want to share that with you here this morning, and I'm going to be talking about giving unto the Lord, amen. You know, and as the minister came up and picked up the tithes and offerings, amen. And as we come and, you know, every service we pick up an offering because that's a form of worship.
Amen.
You know, and we pick up tithes. We have tithes. We give our tithes to the Lord. We give an offering to the Lord. We give to United We Can. Some of us are United We Can members. It means world missions. We give towards world missions. Amen. That's our missions department, United We Can, because we have churches all over the world. In Panama, Africa, Europe, all over the world that we help support. Amen. And so we give to United We Can. And then there's some faithful members of our church that have become part of our what we call Kingdom Builders. Amen. Come on, give them a hand, our Kingdom Builders. We love you. And those members of our church have chosen to go above and beyond the tithe and beyond their United We Can and to give $50 a month, amen, towards our building fund, amen.
Yes,
and that's why we have our wall back there. And every time they give their $50 a month, a brick is added to the wall.
Amen.
And so we've been building that wall. Come on, somebody. It's been a couple months, amen, and we've been building that wall, amen. Like the holidays, it kind of got stuck right there for a little bit, amen. But we're back on it, amen. But it's all giving to the Lord, amen. It's all giving to the Lord. And it's because God has taught us to be generous. And with all that, amen, those that are kingdom builders, those that give their tithes, amen, their offering, the United We Can, we understand that those are people that are members of our church, amen. And, we understand, you know, if you're a new person, amen, here today, I pray that you would just take this message, amen, and just let it bless your life, amen. Just let it bless your life. And, if you're a guest and, you know, you're just kind of looking around and, you know, but you haven't really committed yourself to make Victory Arch your home church, you know, then we understand, amen, that, you'll pay your tithes at your home church, amen. I'm a firm believer in giving tithes, amen. I always give my tithes, amen. And, I've been a part of Victory Outreach, amen, already for 17, going on 18 years, amen. I've been a part of Victory Outreach, amen. Got saved there, Victory Arch, God brought me to Victory Arch Dallas. I got saved a little bit before I came to Victory Outreach, amen. But it's because I was in prison and I didn't get to go to church, you know? But when I got out of church, when I got out of prison, I made sure I found me a church. Amen. Amen. God brought me to Victory Outreach Dallas.
Yes.
And so ever since then, I've been part of this church, this one church. Amen. And until one day my pastor kicked me out. He kicked me out of his church. He said, "You got to go. You got to go take the city.
Yeah.
You got to start your own church now."
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so here we are, amen, me and my wife, and here we are with you, amen. And we're so grateful that we obeyed the voice of God, amen, and obeyed our pastors, amen. And but part of building a church, you know, it takes finances, amen.
That's right.
And part of building your Christian life has to do with giving also,
right,
has to do with finances. And so this morning, amen, I want to just share this message, amen, that Pastor Sonny has taught, amen, the benefits of being a generous person, amen. So our text here this morning is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. So you can grab your Bibles, and thank you, worship team. Give them a beautiful hand, amen. Thank you, great for this morning, amen. You guys can go ahead and get your Bibles, amen. Don't make a beeline to the children's ministry, amen. But grab your Bibles, amen, and let's get into the Word, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And so again, you know, as we talk about tithes and offerings, if you're new here this morning, we don't talk about giving all the time, but we do talk about it. Amen.
Amen.
We do preach. We are a church that believes in giving our tithes and offerings. But, you know, we're not a name it and claim it ministry. Amen. We have a healthy understanding of finances. And that's what I want to teach you here this morning. Amen.
Yes, right.
And
right.
We believe in giving. Amen. We're not all about just giving. We're about winning souls.
Amen.
That's what we were doing yesterday. We're out evangelizing. We did 3 rallies. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
3 rallies back to back. Amen. Feeding the community. We had thousands of sandwiches that we had got blessed with. And we were feeding the community. And, they even had me out there rapping. Come on, somebody. I was out there rapping for Jesus. Amen. And, you know, Sean had me rapping out there. Amen. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my life. I used to slang dope. I used to jack folks. I used to get high. I didn't care if I died. I used to gang bang and slang that cane. Then one day, a miracle took place. Jesus changed my heart and he gave me a fresh start. If you want the same, just call on his name, the name above all, the Lord of all. Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my life. He'll change yours too. Jesus changed my life. How about you? They even have me rapping out there. Amen. Because they don't call on me to testify no more. You know, Pastor Josh just runs the whole rally, and, you know, praise God, amen. Thank you, Jesus, amen. I don't have to do it no more. But they don't even call me to testify, amen. So I said, well, I'll show them.
Come on, man.
I'll make my own rap. Sean ain't the only one, amen. Don't be hating Sean, amen, Daisy. Daisy thinks, my husband's the only rapper. We're out there, we're about evangelism, amen, we're about evangelism, amen, we're about the word of God, amen, and I know your legs are getting tired, so let me read the verse, amen. To me, like, hurry up and read the verse, amen, okay, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 7. Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your parts. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving.
Amen.
Lord, bless the reading of your word to our hearts, anoint it to our lives here this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your people that are here. I pray that you would bless us with your wonderful word. God, let us grow our faith, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing from your word. We thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, everybody says,
amen.
You may be seated. In this passage, we find the Apostle Paul dealing with the Corinthian church. They were a people who had faith in God for many things. But when it came down to trusting God in the area of finances, they had a problem. This was a weak area in their spiritual experience with God. And even today, likewise, many people today find it hard to trust God in this practical aspect of their life.
Amen.
They can believe God for great miracles, for healings, for breakthroughs. But when it comes to this simple practical area of their lives, many times they fail to put their faith and trust in God. So today we want to look at the benefits of trusting God and being a generous person. I want to give you 8 points on the benefits of being a generous person. Number one, giving makes you more like God.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Giving makes you more like God. Throughout the Word of God, we read about God being a giver. Over and over, we find He's a generous God. In Genesis, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, we read, God gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. Not only does he give to those who are Christians, but he gives to those who are not even saved.
Right.
Now, before you give anything to God, you first got to give him your heart.
Yeah. Good.
That's what the scripture says. It says, first they gave themselves over to the Lord. Than to us.
Amen.
The first thing you got to do is to give your heart to God. I gave my heart to God over 19 years ago, and God has been good to me.
Amen.
Giving my heart to God has been the best decision I've ever made. Amen. And giving your total heart to God will be the best decision that you ever make.
Yes, amen.
We see in the Bible, God's given so much to us. He's given us the sun and the moon and the stars and all the things in nature God has given to us for us to enjoy.
Amen.
Yesterday was a beautiful day when we were out there doing the rallies.
Amen.
It's a little cloudy. Come on, somebody. But then for a little while, the sun began to break forth.
Yeah.
Got some good pictures of the sun in the rally when we're out there. Well, what is all that? That God, the Bible says that God causes the sun to rise on the righteous and on the unrighteous.
Yeah.
Amen. So God gives to everybody. Above all else, God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe upon him would not perish but have everlasting life. And if we're going to be like God, then we have to learn to be giving people. Because he's a giving God.
Amen.
In 1 Chronicles 29:14, it says, everything we have has come from you, O Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we can only give you what is yours already. How many know that's heavy?
Amen.
When we give to God, we're only giving to God what's his already.
Amen.
The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Amen.
Where are you at today? Are you in the earth? Then that means everything belongs to God.
Amen.
So that means everything we have has come from God. And whatever we give to God is his already.
Yeah.
We're giving him something that actually belongs to him already.
Well,
If your desire is to be a godly person, does anybody here want to be a godly person? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody, any husbands want to be a godly husband?
Yeah.
Any wives want to be a godly wife?
Yeah.
Huh? If our desire is to be is to be godly, then we must also be generous the same way God is generous.
Right. Amen.
If you want to be more like God, then we must give like God.
Right.
See, God is a generous God. To us, if we become more godly, if we get closer to God, giving should become automatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The closer you get to God, the more generous you become.
Amen.
If you have His Spirit living in your life, you're becoming more like Him. Yeah. He is a generous God. So every time you're generous and you give, you become more like Him and you grow godlier.
Come on now, amen.
The second thing is that giving draws you closer to God.
Come on now.
How many want to be closer to God?
Amen.
That's my prayers, God. I want to get closer to You. Giving draws you closer to God.
Amen.
Where your treasure is, the Bible says, there your heart will be also.
Amen.
If your money is in an investment, that's where your heart is.
Amen.
Some people invest in stocks. They invest in this, they invest in that, and that's okay. But if that's where all your investment is, then that's where your heart is.
Wow.
If your money is in your house, like many people today who even worship their homes, that's where your heart is.
That's good.
I remember back in the day, all our money was in our car.
Yeah,
come on, somebody. Yeah. It was about getting the latest rims. I remember back in my day, we had the Dayans. Come on, son. I remember the Dayans. The Roadsters. And the McLeans. Come on, somebody. And then the big ones came out. The 20-inch wheels. Right? And everybody wanted to have the big rims. And then this is back, now I'm telling my age. Back in the days, we used to have neon lights under our car. System in the trunk. Come on now. Bass in the trunk. We had the munchies for your bass. Oh, you don't know nothing about that. Huh? And all our money was in our car, and everything went into our car. Come on now. We didn't have nowhere to live, but we had a nice car. We didn't have food in the refrigerator. Come on, somebody. But we had a nice car with the a cooler in the trunk. Come on, somebody. Huh? If your money is in your career or a hobby or anything else, that's where your heart is. The Bible says that money is like a magnet. Wherever we put it, it tends to pull our hearts towards it. When we give money to God, it's like a magnet. It pulls us closer to God. When you're investing in your church or your ministry, it draws you closer to your church or your ministry. Because that's where your heart is. Where you're investing your money. When you give to the things of God, you draw closer to the things of God.
Amen.
This is why, this is why also we believe in giving. Why? Because as a church, as a pastor, I feel my job and my duty is to help people get closer to God.
Yes, yes. Amen.
This is why we started out the year with prayer and fasting. We had 21 days of prayer and fasting. Why? Because we wanted to draw closer to God.
Right.
You know? This is why we teach on giving. Why? Because we want to draw closer to God. Because
yes.
We know wherever we put our finances, that's where our heart is drawn to.
Amen. That's right.
Why we evangelize, because we want to draw people closer to God.
Yes.
There's something about when you share your testimony, you're evangelizing. Not only do you bring people close to God, but you begin to get closer to God.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Let me tell you something. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need our money.
That's right.
That's not what He's interested in.
Come on, man.
What He wants is what your money represents.
Come on.
Once again, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Come on, break it down.
That means every time you give, your heart draws closer to God.
Yeah.
Your money represents your heart. It's a spiritual principle. Where your money is, that's where your heart is.
Yeah.
It's not your money God is after. It's what your money represents.
Right.
Because your money actually represents your heart.
Yeah.
Your cora.
Yes.
See, giving is what you would call spiritual exercise. Many got you. Many renewed your membership to Planet Fitness in January. Come on, somebody. Because December you backslid with the tamales, the ham hocks, and the turkey, and the ham. You got a little jiggly. Come on, somebody. Right? And then we need to get back into exercising. We need to get back into our cardio. We need to get back into physical shape. Well, giving is like spiritual aerobics. It gets you back into spiritual shape. Not only spiritual shape, but financial shape. See, giving is good for the heart. It enlarges your heart and makes you stronger every time you give. Every time you give, you become stronger. You know, as a parent, you like to see your children share their toys, right? There's one thing that gets under my skin is when my kids want to be stingy. Especially with me. Come on, somebody. Especially with me. My son the other day, you know, he had a cool flashlight. I said, ooh, let me see that thing. He's like, no, it's mine. I said, where'd you find it at? In the garage. I said, boy, nothing in this house is yours. I said, boy, you don't find nothing in this house. Come on, I found it. You didn't find nothing. It wasn't lost. Right? And as parents, you like to see your children share their toys, right? Right?
Yeah.
You don't like your children to be selfish.
No.
Yet because of their sinful nature, there is a tendency for children to always be selfish. Mine. Mine, my toy, my this, mine that, right? We must teach our children how to be generous and not self-centered and selfish. This is why we even teach our children to give in the children's ministry.
Yeah.
Our teachers pick up offerings. Right. Come on, somebody. They teach them to give to United We Can. My son Frank is a United We Can member. You know, we teach them to get involved and Run for Hope. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, Run for Hope registration's open. Go register. Amen. Let's win first place again this year. Amen. Come on, how many know we're a giving church? Amen. Last year we gave first place. Amen. We gave more than all the churches that are in our category, in our region, and in our category, in our area, from the Rocky Mountain, Texas region, all that. First place, our church. Why? Because we're a giving church. We're a generous people. Come on, give yourselves a hand. See, in the same way that we don't like our children to be selfish, God doesn't like us to be selfish. In the same way we deal with our children when they're being stingy and greedy, God deals with us as His children. His desires for us is to be generous and to be giving, not self-centered or selfish. See, when you give, it brings God pleasure because then you're being like Him.
Amen.
Doesn't every father want their, come on, somebody,
Amen.
Their son to follow in their footsteps? Not every father, come on, somebody. There was a time when I didn't want my kids to follow in my footsteps. But thanks be to God, come on, somebody. Now I don't mind my sons, my daughters following in our footsteps. See, giving pleases God because giving is an act of worship. That's what giving is. It's an act of worship. When you come and give your tithes in the bucket, it's an act of worship.
Amen.
This is why we call it a worship service.
Amen.
It's an act of worship. See, through giving, you are drawn closer to God. As you learn the principle of giving, you grow to be more and more like Him. And no one is more generous than God. The more you give, the more you become like God. And the closer you draw to God. Remember, He's not after your finances. He's after what your finances represent. Your heart.
Come on now.
Does anybody want to give their heart to God?
Yes.
Thirdly, giving breaks the grip of materialism. Giving breaks the grip of a materialism. We live in a materialistic society. The United States of America is the number one country of consumption. We are called a consumer nation. There is so much materialism in our country, in this world.
Right.
We live in a culture that is very materialistic.
Right.
Though God's desire is to prosper His people, there's always the danger of going from one extreme to the other. We need to be balance. God is going to bless your life.
Yes.
Before we couldn't afford, you know, to have a car. We couldn't afford to have the things that we have today. Why? Because many of us blew it all on drugs.
Come on,
somebody. The clubs. Huh? Right? We just spent it all. Huh? But then God saves us, and now we're not blowing all our money on drugs.
Come on now.
But we got to be careful that we don't become materialistic. Because all of a sudden, from blowing your money on drugs, now you're blowing your money on clothes. $200 shoes. My God. Come on, somebody. Huh? Blowing it on going out to eat all the time.
Oh, my.
Huh? God doesn't want us to be materialistic.
Yeah.
So sometimes we just go out to eat so we can just take that selfie. Forgive me, Lord. I did that yesterday. Even yesterday, man, I said, because I had a mark, because we were out of town, me and my wife, we went to the prayer summit. Said, I want to get back. We hardly get the family together. It's hard to get the family together to have dinner together. You get teenagers, they grow up, you know. So I want to take the family out to dinner. And so I said, my honey, where do you want to go, you know? But I was really thinking, like, man, I hope she don't pick something expensive. Which she never does. So I said, let's go to this restaurant over here, you know. And I was thinking to my head, man, we can spend a lot of money there. So we passed by there, and it was like a line outside. I said, that's the Lord. I said, it's too packed, man. We're just going to go to the taco shop. Amen. We went to the taco shop. It's still expensive at the taco shop. Amen. Yeah, so next time, honey, you cook a nice meal.
Amen.
We need to be balanced.
Right.
There are some who are poverty-minded.
Yeah, yeah.
That they say in their heart, for the rest of my life, I'm going to live in poverty and bless God by my poverty.
Oh.
They think that sounds pious. I'm going to bless God by being poor, by being without.
Wow.
Yet, even though we are poor, we really don't bless God through our poverty. There are those who listen to preachings on how God wants to prosper them and bless them with a better house and a better car and a good job and more finances.
Yes.
And as God begins to bless, there's always the danger that they'll go to the other extreme. Instead of being poverty-minded, they'll go to the other extreme and actually become materialistic.
Yeah.
We cannot go to both extremes. We can't be so broke, come on somebody, that we can't be a blessing, but we can't be so materialistic that we still ain't no blessing.
Wow.
We have to be in balance.
Yeah.
We have to be in the middle. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we have to be poor all the time, but it means that we must be balanced in our thought, balanced in our heart to understand that God saved me, God raised me. I used to have nothing, but now God has given me a little something so that I can be a blessing.
Yeah.
See, there's only one antidote for materialism, and that's giving.
Amen.
You want to break the spirit of materialism? Like Red Hot Chili Peppers used to sing.
Come on now.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Come on.
You don't know nothing about that. Huh? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? Give it away. Take it up and give it away.
Give it away.
Huh? Some of you got too much clothes in your closet.
Oh, my.
Okay, I'm talking about myself again. My wife gets on me all the time. You taking all the closet space. That don't fit no more. I said, it's going to fit. It'll fit. Amen. Just believe in me. Help somebody. See, the only way you break the grip of materialism is by giving. Because materialism says, I want to get and I want to get even more. But when you give, you're saying, Lord, I'm putting you first within my life.
Yes,
every time you give, you actually break the grip of materialism within your life.
Amen, amen.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, you cannot serve God and serve money.
Come on.
You have to choose
right.
Who you're going to serve.
Right.
You have to choose who or what will be number one within your life.
Ooh, my.
Whenever we give, a spiritual victory takes place.
Amen.
Whenever we give, you get a spiritual victory under
yes,
your belt.
Yes, amen.
That's why the devil gets mad. That's why he gets mad when the people of God begin to give. That's why he gets mad when the preacher talks about giving. Begins to whisper in your ear, leave. Go to the restroom. Get on Facebook. Start Twittering. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
See, when you give, you're actually putting God as number one in your life.
Yeah.
In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19, the Word of God commands those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyments.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
If we are generous and willing to share, we will be able to take hold of that which is truly life. See, as spiritual leaders and those of us who are parents, it is important for us to set the example. We need to model a balanced life.
Amen, amen, amen. That's right.
Our children and our spiritual children are watching to see how we spend our money.
Right.
We need to be givers.
Amen.
They need to see us give in the offering. We need to set the example of giving money and investing into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Huh? This is why my kids, they know how to be givers.
Right.
Frankie Mason says, I got my tithe, Dad.
Come on.
He gets blessed. You know, Timmy, we're praying for him.
Amen.
We're praying for him. Amen. Pray for my little young one. Amen. Something about that young one. Amen. But my daughter's tithe. Amen. We taught them very early when they were little in the children's ministry to give their tithes.
Yes, amen.
Huh? To give their tithes. Frankie already gives his tithes. Give to United. We can't. Why? Because we model that.
Yes, amen.
As his parents, we model giving unto the Lord.
Come on now. Amen.
And our children, we got to be those models to them. Fourthly, giving strengthens your faith.
Amen.
Giving strengthens your faith. How many want stronger faith?
Yeah.
Amen. I want my faith to be strong. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Huh? Strong that can move some mountains. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? That's what giving does. Giving strengthens your faith. Giving will always strengthen your faith because sooner or later, you have to decide, can God be trusted with my finances?
That's right.
And even if you're a baby Christian, if you're new at church or new in serving God, sooner or later, you're going to have to ask the question, can God be trusted with my money?
Come on.
Can I trust God with my finances? Can he really be counted on to keep his promises? Will he really throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that I wouldn't have room enough to receive it?
Amen.
That's what we experienced yesterday because we're a tithing church. We had so many sandwiches, we couldn't even get rid of them all. Sometimes people call us, hey, we got this blessing. I said, man, I wish I could get it, but we ain't got enough room to store it.
Hello.
That's the floodgates of heaven open upon our lives.
Yeah.
And we're going to eventually you will have to come to the point to ask yourself, can God be trusted with my finances? Will he keep his promises? That's a decision all of us have to make. The Bible has more promises on giving than on any other subject throughout God's word. He promises, he says, do this, then I'll do that.
All right.
If you do this, I'll do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 13 says, your giving proves the reality of your faith.
Amen.
That's what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 9:13. It says, your giving proves the reality of your faith. You say you have real faith?
Come on.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yes, amen.
See, you've heard the expression, talk is cheap. Many times people say, I've got faith and I love God. But they never even tithe nor give offerings. They don't trust God in the area of giving. Corinthians is telling us that giving is what proves the reality of our faith. Don't tell me you love God and don't just show me.
Amen, amen.
I can show you better than I can tell you.
Come on now.
In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, God says, test me in this. God challenges us to prove him. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you will not have room enough to receive it.
Right.
God challenges us here to prove him, test him. So you see, it's not pastor, it's the word of God.
Amen.
The only way to prove your faith to God and that we love him is through the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Amen.
God says, prove me, try me, and check me out. This is the only place in the Word of God where this challenge is put to us. He says, see if I am not a faithful God. Put your faith and trust in me in this particular area of your life and see if I don't come through for you.
All right.
The Lord is challenging us. I dare you to tithe. Take the 10% of everything you make. Give it to me and see if I will not care for all your needs and bless your socks off. It's a challenge. It's a test that God gives to us because giving strengthens your faith. The scripture says, give not with regret. When you give grudgingly and with regret, you won't reap the blessings. Your giving should never be out of a sense of duty or legalism. It shouldn't be that you have to give because you're a member or because you're a leader. That should never be your motivation for giving. Giving should be something that it's a desire that's inside of you, a spirit of generosity. You want to give because you love the love that you have for God. What's beautiful is when you get excited about giving.
Yes.
That's when's beautiful.
Come on.
When you get excited about giving.
Yes.
When you're giving with a grateful and glad heart.
Yes.
That's when God makes it up to you by giving you everything you need.
Yes.
Just like the Bible says that there will not be room enough for you and your needs. There's going to be plenty left over.
Yes.
When God blesses you. God loves joyful givers. He loves cheerful givers.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be times in your life that God is going to call you to give sacrificially.
All right.
See, that's when you really start to become a giver.
Come on.
When you just don't give a little bit.
That's right.
When you just don't give the minimum, but you begin to step into sacrificial giving. It's times when your church is in a building fund, kind of like we're in now.
Yeah.
In a building fund. See, you're giving that extra, that 50 extra. You're giving that extra. Huh? See, it's during those times that you're giving the extra that all of a sudden you really become a sacrificial giver.
Yes, amen.
Huh? Or when there's a special need in the ministry and a challenge goes out. Today, we're going to give out a challenge today.
Come on, amen.
Huh?
Amen.
We're going to give out a challenge. See, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
This is where God begins to raise up generous people.
Yes.
See, those are the times you have to stretch your faith.
Right.
Tell your neighbor, stretch. This is a time we got to stretch your faith and give sacrificially over and above your normal tithes.
That's right.
See, as a dedicated Christian, is there any dedicated Christians here?
Amen.
Anybody to consider themselves a dedicated Christian?
Amen.
As a dedicated Christian, giving sacrificially is something you will do time and time again.
That's right. Amen.
When those times come, you'll find yourself even preparing and getting ready because you know these are the times God is going to produce a miracle within your life.
Amen.
Throughout our years of serving God, me and my wife, there's been many times that God has called us to sacrificially give. It seems like every year God calls us to sacrificially give.
Yes, right. Yes.
Many times that we step into that.
Yes.
But God always provides.
Yes.
God always meets our needs.
Yes.
God always blesses our lives.
Yes.
God always comes through. He's never let me down.
Yes.
And God will work a miracle for you as you begin to step out and take that challenge. Why should we sacrifice as God's people? There are three reasons why. First, you give sacrificially because you want to keep growing.
Amen.
Does anybody want to keep growing?
Yes.
You want to develop spiritual muscles. Kind of like pastor, right? Physically. Okay, why are you laughing? I've been going to the gym.
Amen.
Oh, I thought you were going to hand clap for me.
Amen.
I've been going to the gym. And man, I'm over there trying to lift weights. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Huh? But, you know, the part I don't like is the nighttime.
Hello.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh? It's like, who hit me in the chest? What truck ran me over?
Come on.
Is it just me? Huh?
No.
It is just me. I know all you exercise, you go to the gym, you know. But that see, it's that time after you lift weights that you're sore.
Yeah.
It's that time that you lift weights and that you're sore and you feel uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable. You can't even sleep right because you've been lifting weights. But you, even though your whole body's sore, at the same time at the back of your head, you're like, it feels good because I know my muscles are growing. And that's how it is in giving to God. You might feel a little sore after you sacrificially give, but listen, you feel in the back of your heart and the back of your conscience, you know it feels good because I gave to God.
Yeah.
And I'm growing in the things of God.
Man.
Sacrificial. When you sacrifice, all of a sudden you begin to grow your spiritual muscles.
Yes.
You give because you want to see bigger miracles.
Right,
does anybody want to see bigger miracles?
Yeah.
Want to see their family saved?
Yeah.
Want to see people healed?
Yeah.
Want to see their marriage prosper?
Yeah.
Want to see their children serving God?
Yeah.
And you want to see God use your life in a more powerful way.
Yeah, it's good.
Don't be like those who just coast by.
Hello.
Who are stuck in the past with the commitment they made years ago. Some people are stuck in their commitment they made years ago. They're still stuck on the tithe.
Woo.
They're stuck on a dollar a day with United We Can.
All right, come on.
Be challenged to see yourself grow in this area of your life. As you grow in all the other areas of your spiritual walk, you should also be growing in this area of giving financially.
Amen.
Exercise and develop these
Amen.
Spiritual muscles within
Amen.
Your life.
Good.
Secondly, the reason why you should sacrificially give, as a leader, I will always lead the way. Do we have any leaders in the house?
Yes.
Amen.
I mean, you may say, well, I'm not a church leader, but you're a leader in your family.
That's right.
Dad, you're the leader at home. You're the man of the house.
Yeah.
You're the priest of the home.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? Mom, you're the leader to the children.
Oh,
yeah. Huh?
I would listen, as a leader, I would never ask you to sacrifice more than I do.
Come on.
Yeah.
There it is.
Sylvia and I have tried to model this.
Well, now.
Yes.
The reason why we do is because we know God is going to bless us at the same time.
Right.
As leaders, we want to model this principle. Have you ever seen a leader, when the offering basket is passed or the offering is taken up, they choose not to place nothing in the offering basket? That's not the type of leaders we're raising up in Victory Outreach Canterbury. Come on, somebody give the Lord some praise.
Yeah.
Amen. That leader should be rebuked.
Come on.
Huh? When they don't give in the offering, I give you permission as their disciple.
Yeah.
That's your Bible study leader, and they ain't coming up to give in the offering, and you are. When you go back and you still see them sitting in your seat, walk straight up to them.
Come on.
And give them a 1-2. Hello, somebody.
Oh,
come on now.
Yeah.
Huh? If we preach God is faithful, if we preach God is a faithful God,
yes.
If we preach that God is faithful, then we got to give to God.
Yes.
We got to model.
Yes.
Huh? Because as leaders, we should model and practice what we preach.
Amen.
Give and God will give in return.
Yes.
And tell others that God is able to meet our needs.
Amen.
Then when we need as leaders to put our faith in God and practice, we need to practice what we preach as leaders.
Yeah.
I never ask you to give and I'm not giving.
Come on.
That's right.
Whenever we pick up pledges, I'm the first one to pick up the pledge.
Come on.
We gave our first fruits. Me and my wife gave our first fruits.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
We're tithers. We give to United We Can.
Yes.
Amen.
Matter of fact, we're going up a notch. I'm still waiting for my new pin to come in.
Hello.
Amen. Huh?
Me too.
Thirdly, you cannot outgive God. The reason why we sacrificially give, thirdly, is because you cannot outgive God. We say it all the time. You cannot outgive God. Look to your neighbor and tell him, you cannot outgive God. The more you give, the more he gives back to you. And the bigger your faith muscles grow. The more you give, the more he gives back to you. God, how many want to grow in their walk with God?
Amen.
Huh? We need to continue to give. Amen. How many want to give to the Lord?
Amen.
Now, Now that you're growing in the Lord in giving, God says, I want you to continue to give even more so I can bless you more.
All right. Amen.
See, it's in these times of sacrificially giving that you need to step out and give sacrificially.
Yeah.
It's times like these that are exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's when you're stepping out by faith.
Yes.
And you know what you're saying? You're saying, God, if you don't come through, I'm done. That's when your back is against the wall. But you know when your back's against the wall, you're in a perfect position for God to come through for your life.
Amen. That's right.
And sure enough, God always comes through. The more than you can imagine, He comes through. Have you ever had God bless your socks off?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you haven't, then sacrificially give. Because I've had experience where God has blessed my socks off. And it's those times where I have sacrificially given to God.
Right.
See, perhaps your faith is strong when it comes to believing God for salvation or healing. But God desires you to be strong in this particular area of your faith as well, in giving. If you want to be strong in the area of finances and believe God when it comes to your money, then you need to strengthen and exercise your faith muscles by giving.
Yes.
That's when you really begin to grow.
Good.
You can never outgive God.
Right.
Giving always strengthens your faith.
Yes.
And you'll never strengthen your faith or have faith for finances if you do not give.
Yes.
Fifthly, giving is a test of your maturity. One of the ways God will test your maturity is through finances. Why through finances? Because we spend so much of our time making money. We spend so much of our time saving money, spending money, thinking about money, using money, and investing money. We build our whole life around it. God desires for us to be mature Christians.
Amen.
He wants us to trust Him in the good times and in the bad times.
Amen.
When we begin to trust Him in the area of our giving, we begin to mature in these three areas.
Yes.
First, in stability.
All right.
We become stable in our walk with God. Second, in dependability.
Right.
We become someone God can depend on.
Yes.
Then thirdly, in our consistency.
Yeah.
A mature individual is consistent in every area of their lives.
Amen.
Listen, your job wouldn't have you around if you didn't have these three things in your life.
Yeah.
They would fire you with the quickness.
Oh my.
But mature individuals, they are consistent in their church attendance.
Yes.
They're consistent when it comes to finances.
Yeah.
They give in the good times and in the bad times.
Amen.
They are not fair weather Christians.
Whoa.
They only, you know, only when things are going good do they serve God or they come to church or give. But they are consistent with their tithes and their offerings.
Yeah.
When they go to church, it doesn't matter whether they had a good week or a bad week. It doesn't matter if they're up or if they're down.
Yeah.
How they feel does not matter. They are consistent. They come to church faithfully, ready to give to God what belongs to God. But an immature Christian or an immature person is one that you always have to be motivating to give.
Yeah.
This is not necessary for a mature person. You don't have to motivate them and tell them stories over and over again of the blessings of God.
Right.
They're mature. They're consistent. They're faithful. They're stable. They come ready with their tithes and their offerings. They're ready to worship the Lord with their gifts. Because they have learned generosity within their lives. See, giving is always a test of our maturity. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus said, if you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who's going to trust you with the true riches of heaven? Jesus is saying, if you're not faithful with your money here on earth, then God is not going to trust you with greater spiritual responsibilities in heaven.
Right.
Did you know that Jesus spoke more about money than He did about health? He spoke more about money than He did about heaven. Over half the parables in the Bible have to do with money management.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is how important this subject is to God.
Right.
Because God desires for us to come to a place of maturity and consistency.
Right.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I wonder how many of you have been consistent.
Come on now.
How many of you have taken your tithe or your United We Can envelope to church and really gave?
Come
Some people put an empty envelope in the offering bucket. Is it just a hit and miss type of thing with you? Oh, if I get there on time. Some people, they're slim. They come after the offering to service.
Come on now.
No, we need to be on time for church. You should be here early for prayer and early for. You know what the bad thing is? Is that the new people come early for prayer.
Come on.
I was here this morning for prayer. There was a lot of new people who were early for prayer. And the faithful church members all come in. At 11:30, after the offering, after the worship. What are you giving to God? You just come to receive. You're just taking. You're robbing God. Come give God your prayer. Come give God your worship.
Yes.
And come give God your tithes and offerings.
Amen.
You got to start coming on time for church. And I don't feel bad because, you know, saying this. Because when I went to the mother church, Pastor Sunday was rebuking his church for the same thing. They all come late. My God, how many of we need to be on time? You're going to miss the rapture. You're so late, you'll miss the rapture. Oh, but you ain't late for breakfast. Oh, yes, I am. You ain't late for lunch. Or do you go late for work like that? Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Is this too hard? I hope it's not too hard.
That's good. That's good.
Come on, God is raising up some mature believers. God is raising up a mature church. God is raising up strong Christians that will be faithful. You got to remember that when you give, you're not giving to man or to the church or even to an organization. Every time you give, you're giving to God. You need to know and understand that your giving is unto God, and it's a vital part of your worship experience. It's a vital part of your worship experience. Giving to God. Let me give you the rest real fast. The sixth thing, giving is an investment for eternity. Jesus said, "Do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal." Seventhly, giving blesses you in return. Giving blesses you in return. Look at this story real quick. 1 Kings chapter 17. We read about Elijah, the prophet of God. There was a great famine in the land, and Elijah asked a woman who was basically down to her last meal to do something for him. The word of God says in 1 Kings chapter 17, the word of God in verse 1, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite said, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there.'" Why? Because there was a famine in the land.
Yeah, amen.
"So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening." I don't care how the economy is. I don't care if the government shuts down. If you're a believer and you're a faithful giver, listen, God will take care of you. You're a servant of God. It says that he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up. See, sometimes things will dry up on you. Sometimes work won't come in. But that's all right, because God is just going to use some other avenue to bless you. It says the drip dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." Sometimes God will use the unlikely person. This is why, listen, never say no to a blessing. Come on, somebody. Because when you tell them no, you're really robbing their blessing. So if you want to bless me after service, take me out to eat. Amen. I'll receive. Amen. I want you to be blessed. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." Remember, she was about to eat her last meal. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am getting a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat and die.
Wow, Jesus.
She was on her last leg. On her last dime. Talk about a famine. What does Elijah tell her? Don't be afraid.
Yes.
Do you know why he said those words to her? Do you know why he said those words to her? Because what he was going to ask her to do was going to require her to take a very big step of faith.
Yeah. Come on now.
Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Woo. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have. Listen, God ain't interested about what you don't have. He's interested about what you have. He says, and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. How many of you at that point would have been rebellious at that point?
Wow.
How many of you would say, what? Man, you're crazy. Está loco. I ain't falling for that one. No way, Elijah. How many of you would have been obedient? But what did she do? She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I'm here to speak you this morning. The word of the Lord says, as you give to the Lord, you will not run dry. God is going to bless you. You're going to have an over and abundance. You will not die. You will survive. The first lesson we learn from this, the time to give is this. The time to give is when you're broke. That's when giving really begins. Not when you have everything, but when you're broke. See, that's real giving. That's faith giving. Faith giving is when you don't have. Real faith giving is when you're flat broke. Secondly, what we learn is, just like the widow woman, God takes care of you when you put him first and take care of his business. And then thirdly, we learn, you always reap more than what you sow. You always reap more than what you sow. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, the generous person will always be blessed. The generous person will always be blessed. And the last thing, giving makes you happy. Giving makes you happy. Makes you happy. I read an article. You know what it was saying? And you know, this is a little PG-13, you know. I read an article and they said, the part of the brain that lights up when you give is the same part of the brain that lights up like when you eat a piece of chocolate cake. And they said another one. Singles, cover your ears. The part of the brain that lights up is like the part when you give. It's like also like the part of the brain that lights. This is not my. This is science that they study. It's the same part of the brain lights up when there's intimacy between a man and a woman. This is scientists say this. The same part of the brain that lights up between intimacy and a man and a woman is the same part of the brain that lights up when you give. When you give. Giving people are happy people.
Amen.
Giving people are happy people. Do we have any happy people here this morning?
Yes.
The benefits of being a generous person. How many of you, I want to be happy. Come on.
Yes.
Money is not the key to happiness.
That's right.
Giving it away is.
Amen.
Giving it away is. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to pick up pledges in our church.
Yes,
we have what we call a building fund. You know, the building fund, is, you know, we're putting the money aside for one day, God, we're going to be able to buy a building one day. Or when God gives us a building, bigger building, we're able to go into that bigger building. So we're setting money aside. It's a savings account that we have. That's the Kingdom Builders. But then every time during this time of the year, we always pick up pledges from our church. This is something that we do every year. You know, and again, if you're a visitor, you happen to come today, we don't always do this. It's not something we do all the time, but it is something we're doing today. You know, and I pray that you, this becomes your home church, you know. And if you still want to come visit and pray and seek, I mean, we understand, amen. And this area doesn't pertain to you. But for our faithful church members, amen, this is for us.
Yes.
Amen. This is for us. Amen. Amen. And what we're going to do is we're going to build up a building pledge.
Amen.
A building pledge. And listen, this building pledge doesn't go into the building fund. This building pledge gives us a boost.
Yes.
It gives us a boost in the beginning of the year. Because, you know, during the holidays, you know, money gets a little slim. Amen.
Right.
Slim and trim. Come on, somebody. January, we're trying to build up the account again.
Amen.
Amen. Because of the holidays. And so, you know, at the beginning of the year, amen, we do a building pledge. And this helps us, you know, to take care of the building needs. You know, our lease here, amen, it's a good amount of money, amen. We fix up the building. We try our best to make it look presentable, a place where we can come and be comfortable and have heat and have air conditioner and have worship. And we do our best, amen, to put into the building where we can have a church. But it takes finances, amen? And so every year, amen, we pick up pledges, amen? And this helps us to give us that boost,
amen?
We, a lot of times we get ahead on the rent. You know, our landlord loves us. Our church landlord, he loves us. He says, man, you're the only church that pays on time.
Come on.
Come on, give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand. He says, man, he says, I went to a lot of churches, but you're the only church that pays on time. You know, and I give all glory to God, man, and I give you the props because it's your giving that we're able to do that.
Right.
You know, and throughout, we've been here, we've been on a 5-year lease here, and we need a bigger building. Amen.
Yeah,
come on,
yeah,
how many can agree we need a bigger building?
Yeah.
This is why we haven't purchased, because it's not suitable for us.
Yeah.
You know, we might be able to knock down some walls or whatever. But, you know, for all these years, we've always been 2 months in advance in our rents.
Oh, now, amen.
All the time. They happy when they see me walk in.
Hello.
You know? And that's a testament of our church being the giving church.
Yes.
A hard-working church.
Yes.
And we want to continue to be givers in 2019.
Yes.
We want to, how many know, we don't go backwards, we go forwards.
Yes.
So this morning, amen, we want to pick up some pledges, amen. And we have 3 different pledges that we're going to pick up, amen. And it's the same envelope, amen. But I'm going to call the ushers to make their way up. And they can bring an offering basket. So what we're going to do, amen, is I want to make a challenge for our church. If you will stand with us to pledge. If you'll stand with us to pledge. And then we'll also have a time where we can give, amen. But I want you to bow your heads and pray. And pray with me here in a little bit. But before we do, I want to introduce the pledge. It's a building pledge. And the number one pledge is the first pledge that we want to, the challenge that we want to do, this is for the sacrificial givers. This is for the ones that are stretching their, you know, they're all of these are, you're going to stretch your muscles. All of them are, really. Amen. But the first one is a pledge for $3,000. For $3,000. And I, as your pastor, take this pledge. I take this pledge. And let me tell you something. I don't take church finances to pay this pledge. This comes out of my pocket. And ain't nothing in my pocket. But I have faith, amen. I have faith, amen. I get a little income tax check the way you get a little income tax check, amen. And that helps when I give my pledge. So me and my wife, amen, we stand, honey, stand. We stand to take, be the first ones to lead the way. To take a $3,000 pledge.
Amen.
Then there's also going to be the second pledge is the $2,000 pledge. For those that want to stand with us to do the $2,000 pledge. Then there's going to be a $1,000 pledge. So there's 3 pledges that you can give if you would like to pledge. And we have to the end of April to fulfill this pledge.
Amen.
So you got all February, you got all March, and you got all April. That's 3 months. I think that's plenty of time for us to come through with our pledge. But I want to remind you that a pledge is a promise. It's a vow that you make to God.
That's right.
So take it serious. Don't do it out of emotion. Do it out of faith. That, you know what? I promise, honey. I know. But you gotta help me out. Because we're gonna almost stand here. But what I wanna do is, if you wanna pledge with us, whether 3,000, 2,000, or 1,000, I'm gonna ask you to stand to your feet. If you wanna pledge with us. And as I pray, you can continue to stand. If you want to pledge with us, I'm going to pray. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Worship team, I want you to go. Get down. You guys don't have to be up here. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord. I pray right now that you would touch your people's hearts. I pray that you would move in the most powerful way. I rebuke Satan. I rebuke the devourer that will try to lie to your people. They're too poor that they can't afford it. I rebuke the enemy that are trying to bring doubt. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen us as your people, strengthen our faith to believe you in the area of finances. I pray that you would touch hearts. And the people will be moved to step out in faith, to pledge, to give sacrificially, so that we can continue to see the work of God grow in our midst. If you're here and you say, you know what, I want to be a part of this pledge, I want you to stand to your feet. If you're already standing, praise God. Father, I pray for those that have stood with us. I pray, God, a blessing upon their life. I pray for provision, supernatural provision. And we thank you for them. I pray for those, God, that are faithful tithers, United We Can members. Kingdom builders, continue to meet all their needs according to your riches and glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. What I want you to do, Jeanette can come back by herself to the piano. What I want, I know that there's some that are ushering. I want the ushers to go forth and give them an envelope, the ones that are standing. If you're standing and you're not doing the pledge, then you might want to kneel. But if you're taking the pledge and remain standing, the ushers are going to give you an envelope. And before you sit down, I want you to fill that envelope. Fill it up and just check whether you're going to pledge 3,000, 2,000, or 1,000. And for the rest of you, I commend you. I thank you for your honesty. No pressure at all. That's not my motive here. But this is something that we do have to do. The Bible says that wisdom is a defense as finances is a defense. And as a church, as a ministry, we defend against the attacks of the enemy, because the enemy attacks us spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And by giving, we're fighting off the enemy. It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. And at the same time, we understand that God is growing our people. He's growing our people. You may be here this morning and you say, you know what, I can't really pledge right now. I can't really pledge right now. I'm not in a position to pledge 3,000 or 2,000 or 1,000. Maybe that's you. But maybe you're here and you say you're not really a tither. You're not tithing anywhere. Maybe you're visiting, but you haven't been giving tithes. Then that's where God wants you to start here today. He wants you to start at step one, the tithe. That's the first step, the tithe. Of course, giving your life to Jesus, you got to give your heart to God first. But after that, we got to start reading, praying, and tithing. And maybe that's you here this morning. You say, you know what, I haven't been tithing. I know about tithing. I grew up tithing, but I haven't been tithing. Maybe you backslid in tithing. You kind of just fell off. You're not giving tithes no more. If you're here today, you say, you know what, I want to start tithing. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Anybody here, you want to start tithing? Anybody? Ushers, I want you to give them a tithing envelope. Anybody else, you say, you know what, I want to start tithing. If you're already a tither, I want you to stand to your feet. If you're already a tither. Praise God. Now what I want to do next, as you fill out those envelopes, and you don't have to give the whole pledge today. Don't think you have to give the whole pledge. You got to remember the end of April to give your pledge. But maybe this morning, God challenged you in the area of giving, and you want to give a special offering to the Lord. I'm going to ask the ladies to come with the square, and we're going to pick up another second offering. You want to? I believe that after a message like this, that challenges me to want to give. And so this morning, you say, you know what? I want to give a special offering. I gave him the first offering, but I want to give a second offering. And I want you to stand also. Stand here if you want to give a special offering. God, you cannot outgive God. You can't outgive God. God is a faithful God. I've seen him come through for me and my family time and time. This is no trick. This is no gimmick. Ain't nobody trying to get rich. Do not let the devil lie to you like that. You talk about money, people get funny. You talk about change, people get strange. That, you know why? Because that's how tight the devil got his grip.
That's
why people get mad. It's because that's how tight the enemy got to you. Like, but you got to break that by giving to the Lord. Break it. Shake yourself loose. You want to be blessed? You got to learn how to give.
Good.
If you want to stay in a poverty mentality, you want to stay poor, don't give.
That's good.
I used to be a dope dealer. I sold dope. I used to be a hustler. God, when I got saved, God had to teach me how to be blessed. And I didn't get saved and automatically become a pastor, no. I got saved and I sat where you sat. And I was standing where you stood and I listened to my pastor preach on giving. And I caught the vision. And I learned to be a giver. And I learned that when I gave, that it would draw me closer to God, but it also taught me to trust in God. And God has been faithful to me. I believe strongly, and this is for you singles. Some of you singles, you're praying for that right man, that right woman. How are you going to pray for that right man, that right woman, if you ain't right with God in your heart? You're still being greedy, stingy in your heart. I remember giving my tithes, my first fruits, pledges as a single man. And I believe strongly that's why, man, God gave me a beautiful woman. Woman of God.
Amen.
He gave me a woman of God.
Amen.
Not a Jezebel.
Come on now, amen.
Not a Delilah. Because those Jezebels and Delilahs creep into the church. You know, girls, you don't want to end up with the Samson.
Hello.
Always backsliding. But you know why I believe? Because I believe God at his word. Everything, not just giving, everything, evangelism, education, worship. I just not like this about giving. Come next week, you'll see, I'll preach on everything.
Oh, right.
Today we're preaching about giving. And we go hard on it. We go 100% on giving. We go 100% on evangelism. You should have been there yesterday. You would have seen us 100% on evangelism. We go 100% on discipleship. That's why we have the father and son fishing trip. That's why the women come on. They're coming on Saturdays for the next 8-7 weeks to be discipled. Because we go 100% in giving. We go 100% in discipleship. We go 100% in evangelism. We go. This is why even in the beginning you're like, man, what is it? Why, man? Why does he get up there and start worshiping God? Tell us lift our hands and tell us sing. What? Because we're 100% in worshiping God.
Amen.
100% in everything. We're balanced Christians.
That's good, Pastor.
And so let's be balanced. That's what Paul said. As you excel in everything, as you excel in your speech and your knowledge of God and your preaching and your teaching, see also that you excel in this grace of giving. So if you want to give a special offering, you can give with the square, put the five ways of giving. You can give with the text. You can give through cash or a check. Sow something special. And for those that are taking the pledge, I want you to bring that envelope and put it in the bucket. But wait, let me pray for it. Lift it to the Lord. Father, I pray that you would meet those needs. I pray for those that are giving here this morning that you would bless them. I rebuke the devil, God. We give them an eviction notice, God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you because you're faithful in all you do. Meet every need according to your riches and glory. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Everybody says,
amen.
When you're ready, come give to the Lord. Come on, let's sing something special. Hallelujah. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must see, for the devil is defeated. We are sing it with us. We're blessed in the city. Come on, if you mean it, sing it with us. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every struggle. Sickness and poverty must see, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Lord, you blessed in me.
Every time I turn around, the Lord, you blessed in me.
Every time I turn around, the Lord,
come on, why don't you turn around with us?
In the house, amen. I believe, amen. Sister Monica celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday, Monica. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then also, who else had a birthday? Somebody, Brother Joel, amen. Big Love Ministries, amen. Brother Joel had a birthday, amen. Brother Rigo just had a birthday a couple weeks ago. Somebody else, who else? Huh? Jeanette Asanet, that's right, Sister Asanet, amen. Come on in here. We're going to sing happy birthday, Asanet. Come on, Joel. Get up here, Joel. Monica. Amen. Let's sing happy birthday. How many know we're family here? Amen. Who else? Who?
Ulyssa.
Ulyssa. Come on over here, Ulyssa. Let's sing happy birthday to them. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ulyssa, Joel, Monica, and SNN. Happy birthday. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Sign up for the Father and Son fishing trip with Irvin. Amen. We love you. We'll see you next week. Get plugged into a Bible study. We got a new, for all the newcomers, we got a special room for you. For all the newcomers, we want to see you in the green room. Bible study leaders, we have a meeting at my house.